Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, faith to faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it comes faith to faith. Tell him, faith to faith. You may be seated. How many of you have ever heard the cliche, faith to faith, victory to victory, glory to glory? And the church is full of a lot of cliches. And the cliches that we say, a lot of them are good. A lot of them are straight from the Word of God. But when the Word of God becomes a cliche, it becomes dangerous to those that use it. Not to those that hear it, but to those that use it, because we become so casual with the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is a two-edged sword. And so when we become casual with the Word of God, it becomes dangerous because we use it so superficially and so casually that we rob it of its power. There's a lot of cliches that the church uses. Some of these you might use, and I use them, and we need to maybe do a better job of not using them as much. But some of these cliches, if God brings you to it, then God will bring you through it. And we say things like that instead of actually ministering to someone or praying for someone. We'll say things like, well, God won't put on you any more than you can bear. If somebody's going through a tough spot in their life, that's probably not what you want to just throw out there. Because it seems so callous and numb to what those people might really be facing. And so we say things like, if God brings you to it, then God will bring you through it. Can you throw up the second one for me? When God closes a door, he opens a window. That's good. It's not in the Bible. Give me another one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, if your mother told you that, she might look and sound like an apostle, but that's not in the Bible. Give me another one. Let go and let God. If you say that to the wrong person, what it really means is you have no responsibility. It's God's responsibility. And sometimes you shouldn't let go. You should hang on for dear life. You should not let go of what you're going through and what you might be facing. And so a lot of times we say things like this as cliche and it doesn't really help anybody. Let's go a couple more. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Again, we say that and we don't know what it means. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And I think there's one more, and this is my favorite one that people say. God helps those who help themselves. That wasn't the Apostle Paul, that was the Apostle Benjamin Franklin. And a lot of times we say these cliches to build ourselves up, a lot of times to build someone else up. Not saying they are bad, because there is a principle of God that rings true in everything that you just read. However, if we say them to the point where we say them so much and we take all the responsibility off of us, the Word of God cannot be established in our lives. I don't want to be cliche. I want the Word of God to literally come off of the pages, because it is God. It is the breath of God. It was inspired by God. And when I come to a situation, I don't want to attack it with a cliche. I want to attack it with a two-edged sword. I want to come after it for everything, with everything that I have. And when you have the Word of God as a foundation, when you mix it with faith, begins to produce everything that you need in your life. So I encourage you, around all of the cliches of life, get you some word that you've meditated on. Get you some word that you've read and understood and put into practice, so that when the devil does show up, you're not throwing cliches that you've heard popular pastors say, but you are literally hitting him with the word of God. Because I promise you, the devil attacks a lot of people that don't know enough word to evict him from their life. But when he comes into contact with a real believer that understands the real word and starts quoting that word and says it in a manner that the devil's not used to not seeing or not used to hearing, he's not going to stay at your house. He's going to run down the block for an easier target. It all goes back to the story of the two men in the woods, and the grizzly bear shows up and one drops to his knee and starts tying his shoes. And the one that's standing there says, "Are you crazy? You can't outrun the bear." He looked up at that man and said, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. I might not be the strongest, but I guarantee you I won't be the weakest." Let me say that again. I'm not the strongest, but I guarantee you I'm not going to be the weakest. I've got enough word in me. I've got enough foundation in me. I've got enough logos in me. The rhema comes to me, but I've got enough faith that when logos and rhema come to me, I've got enough faith to step out of the boat and to be what God has called me to be. And so the cliches of glory to glory and victory to victory and faith to faith, I really want to concentrate on faith to faith in the few moments I have left here today. Because when we look at victory to victory, it's a great statement, but it's not in the Bible. The principle's there, but victory to victory, there's nowhere in the Bible that uses that phrase. But in our text in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, we see the phrase from faith to faith. When I see this phrase, I can tell that I was raised in church, because when I think of faith to faith, I don't think of the process faith, I think of the destination faith. See, when I say faith to faith, I'm viewing in my mind mountaintop to mountaintop. I'm not looking at the process that faith takes. Sometimes faith is a process, but many times in our mind, faith becomes a destination. That my faith says I'm here now, but I can get to where God has called me to be. If you've spent any time in church, you've heard this phrase, faith to faith. Sometimes we say it so much that it loses its value. We make it a one-dimensional phrase and we rob it of the fullness of the revelation. It becomes very myopic in our way of viewing things. While that principle of faith to faith and just saying that is powerful, we have to understand, what does faith to faith really mean? This is how Romans 1:16 reads in the Message Bible. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what the scripture has said all along, that the person in right standing with God, by trusting him really lives. Meaning that a life outside of faith is not really living. It's existing. Most of the people in your life are not living their life to its fullest. They are existing in life. They are going with the ebb and the flow of life. Sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's good. And sometimes I'm blessed, sometimes I'm stressed. Sometimes I'm anointed and other times I'm disappointed. But we must understand that on this faith journey, we do not get to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. And there's the danger when we say from faith to faith. We think that we get to skip the valleys of life and just jump from mountaintop to mountaintop, and from good thing to good thing, and from good to better, and from better to best. And we don't have to fight anything, and we don't have to go through anything that makes us uncomfortable. But I'm here to tell you that I have not learned life's greatest lessons on the summits of the mountain. I've not learned the greatest lessons that life and God has to offer on the mountaintop. I've learned to trust God in the valley. I've learned that God is an ever-present help in the valley. I've learned who my true friends really are in the valley. I found out who really has my back in the valley. Because anybody will stand with you shoulder to shoulder on the mountaintop, but very few will leave the mountaintop to walk stride for stride with you through the valley. You don't learn much on the mountaintop, but where you learn life's greatest lessons is when you take all the faith that it takes to step off of the mountain and say, I'm going to the valley, but I'm not going to stay there very long, because when I leave this mountain, I'm going to another mountain, and I'm not going to make the valley my home. It's not a destination. It's a place of transportation. It's a place that I will visit, but it's not where God has called me to be. So here's our choices. When we say faith to faith, it can be merely words that we say on Sunday that we don't mean on Monday. Turn to your neighbor and tell them this. Talk is cheap. There's a lot of people saying, I want greater. I want more. See, I have a responsibility as a pastor and a preacher to not preach faith by itself, but faith with works. I must not preach faith without obedience. I have to preach faith with obedience. I can't preach faith without sacrifice. I have to preach faith with sacrifice. Because when you put obedience and works and sacrifice and faith together, what you're saying is the same thing that James said, that if you can show me your faith without your works, he said, I'd be shocked. But he said, I can show you what kind of faith I have by what I do with my life. And I don't live on the mountaintop only. My life is not a highlight reel that you see on social media. There's been some times where I've had to leave what is comfortable because God has called me somewhere higher, and so I don't mind getting lower if it means that God is taking me higher. Social media is going to be the death of a lot of people because it introduces comparison. It introduces us comparing with everyone else. Anytime that you scroll through, you say, I'm better than that person. When you say you're better than that person, you have now stopped growing because you're here and they're here. Then you look at somebody else and you say, they're better than me. They're doing more than I am. They have more than I have. And you stop. Why? Because they're here and you're here. And you don't know what it took them to go from here to here. And so you just stop and we whine and we complain because we are comparing ourselves to other people. I've got good news for somebody in here. This is something that God had to show me a long time ago. Social media is not a true story. It is the faux story of people's lives. Most people don't get on there and tell you the bad stuff. Some of y'all do. Some of y'all took that confess your faults one to another scripture to a brand new degree with Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But most people share the highlights. You're always going to be left feeling lesser than if you compare somebody's highlight reel to your real life. Because every day's not on the mountaintop. Can I just be honest with you that every day of your life should not be on the mountaintop? Can I be even further blunt and more honest and say that I've spent more time in the valley than I have on the mountaintop? You say, why is that, Pastor Brandon? Did you camp there? I didn't camp there, but when I got to this mountain, I said, man, look at how far I've come. Man, look at that little mountain I came off of. And when I turned around, I said, oh, look at that mountain. That's the mountain I need to be on. That's a lot higher than I am today. But again, I don't get to jump. For me to get that high, I've got to go low. See, I knew that wouldn't be great preaching on Sunday. Because we're always talking about faith to faith, victory to victory, glory to glory. But I'm here to encourage somebody. If God has called you to the next mountain, you have what it takes to get through the valley that you're going to have to go through to get to the next mountain. And I've got great news for you, me, and everybody that ever hears this message. The length of your valley time is totally dependent on you. It's not dependent on the adversary. It's not dependent on God. It's not dependent on anything else. It's dependent on, am I willing to just do what I have to do to get to the next level in my life? And if God has called me to it, why am I wasting time celebrating here? Why am I fearing what's down there? If God has called me there, he knew I was going to have to walk through something to get to it. Somebody say, I'm a valley walker. Talk is cheap. Your walk must line up with your talk. We must realize that if we are going to go higher, further, and deeper into the things of God, that we are going to have to step off of this mountain to step onto that mountain. We're in a year of this is that. Somebody reminded me this year, they said, Pastor Brandon, ever since January, we've held on to that word that this is that. I'm here to tell you, sometimes you can't get that until you've walked away from this. You're not going to hold this and that together. You're going to be able to look to this as a reference point on your way to that. But you cannot have your cake and eat it too on the same mountain. God is calling you to greater. God has destined you. If you're still breathing today, there's more to life than we are living now. And by the power of Jesus that is in you, you don't have to stay the same way you are today. You can step off of this mountain. And when people call you crazy, I don't know why you leave here to go there. It's dark. Nobody's down there. It's dangerous. The reason I leave here to go there is because of there. Some people can't see your next, and all they see is your now. And so they'll tell you, don't step out there in faith. That's crazy talk. You're never going to make it. Say good riddance to those people, because if that's the way they talk, you'll never see them again once you leave this season. There's some people that can't go where God's calling you to go. I love this. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23 is a psalm that we use to comfort people in the time of need, in the time of loss. But what this is really about is in times of transition, not of any of those things. You can make it to whatever you want it to be. But what David is really saying, God, in my times of transition, you were there with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How to make it through life's valleys, and I'm going to go through these very quick. Number one, this is not a great revelation, but it is something we need to be reminded of. Number one, don't stop. When you step off of a mountain to go through a valley to get to your next mountain, when you are in the process of faith to faith, not the destination, number one, don't stop. The storm lasts twice as long if you stop. Don't pull over. Don't look for an overpass. Don't look for a driveway. Now, I'm not talking about a physical storm. I'm talking about a spiritual storm. Don't stop. When the devil brings everything against you, keep moving. You say, Pastor Brandon, I'm not making a lot of headway today. We don't need you to make a lot of headway. We just need you to make some headway. Someday you're going to make an inch. Someday you're going to make a mile. But you need to remind the devil, you can bring everything you can against me, but you're not allowed to stay where I'm at. You're not allowed on the mountain tops of life, and that is where I'm headed. There's a country song that says, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't stop. Yea, though I walk. Walk in the Hebrew is yalak. It means to follow. So see, when I walk off of one mountain into the valley to get to the next mountain, I do not walk alone. I'm following Jesus. Another translation for walk in the Hebrew, yalak, it means to march. See, some of us are so timid that we should have just stayed on the first mountain. Because timidity will kill you in the valley. Boldness will get you through. These little timid weak prayers, they don't work in 2018. They don't work when you've got cancer. They don't work. You say, what's cancer? It's a valley. They don't work when your kids are not acting like God said they would act. That's a valley. They don't. Those weak prayers don't work when you run out of money before you run out of bills. Listen, I'm here to tell you that when you walk, you are following Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, I'd rather be with Jesus in the valley than with a group of friends on the mountaintop. I'd rather be alone with just my God in the valley than to have a group of the greatest fans of Brandon Fender on the mountaintop, because your fans are going to be very few and far between in the valley. But as long as I've got King Jesus, as the song used to say, I don't need nobody else. When I said yes to Jesus, the greatest marriage that I've ever had is not to Mandy. It was the day that I became the bride of Christ. Why? Because it means that I'm married to my best friend. It means that every place I go, he's there. Every place I am, he's there. I'm never alone. I'm never by myself. I'm never outnumbered. Why? Because I follow Jesus. I'll follow him to the ends of the earth. I'll follow him to the deepest of valleys. Why? Because he's never failed me yet, and he's never going to fail me. My Jesus has never let me down. Politicians let me down every day. Friends let me down every week. Family will even let you down from time to time. But Jesus has a proven track record. He is 100%. He has never let you down. He has never left you by yourself. He has never lost a match. It means to march. To walk means to prosper in Hebrew. You mean I can prosper in the valley? Sure you can, because Jesus is with you. Can I just go a little further before the praise team comes? Can we really call it a valley if Jesus is with us? Is it really a valley if the creator of the valley, if the creator of the mountain, is it really a valley if Jesus is with me? Is it really a valley if he goes before me? Is it really a valley that if I'm hungry, he said, I'm the bread of life? Is it really a valley that if I'm thirsty, he said, I am the living water? Is it really a valley when I don't see anything good, he says, I'll be the rose of Sharon for you today? Is it really a valley when I'm suicidal in the valley, but I've got a counselor, I've got an advocate, his name is Jesus? Is it really a valley that if I find myself dehydrated and I hurt myself in the valley, that I'm following the great physician? I am here to tell you, there is no such thing as a valley like the world sees it, because a valley with Jesus is not a valley at all. It's the presence of the Lord, and as long as I have his presence, I don't need anything else. I walk through the valley. I prosper in the valley. I follow in the valley. I march in the valley. Praise team, come. Number two. This is how you're going to get through those valleys. Remember, God is with you. I will not fear evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is with you no matter where you go. No matter how far you run. No matter how far you fight, how hard you fight against the hand of God. Turn around. He's right there. He's not mad. He's not angry. He's standing there with open arms saying, I wish you would just turn your life over to me. You are running from me, and I can take you through this valley with the snap of my fingers, and we can get to the next mountaintop. But if you keep running, every time you run, he goes, I can run faster than you. I can run longer than you. I can run harder than you. And we run, and turn around, and God's not even out of breath. He's with me. Sometimes I fear. Sometimes that valley gets dark. Come on, you know, the higher the mountain, the deeper the valley. Sometimes that valley, I can't see the sun anymore. I don't have to see the sun, because the Son of Righteousness walks with me. Number five, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Number three, let me remind you, you are anointed. The anointing works best in the valley. The anointing works best when you're under pressure. The anointing works best when you're fighting for your life. The anointing works best. How do we anoint? We anoint with oil. How do we get oil? From the pressing of the olives. You don't get what is best out of the olive until it is pressed. I'm here to tell you that we haven't seen the best of you until we've seen the pressed you. We haven't seen the best of what God has placed inside of you until we see you transcend or descend into the valley and come out on the other side. I need to know, do you have a testimony? My testimony is, Brandon, I was pressed. Brandon, I was crushed. Brandon, I was persecuted. But I made it through the other side, because they didn't understand that the more they pressed me, the more of God came out of me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you're going to make it. Tell him you're anointed. My cup runs over. Number four is you have more than enough to make it through the valley. And if you run out, you got the creator of the universe that you're following through. God never leaves you on empty. He always leaves you with a seed. He always leaves you with enough. He always leaves you with a cruse of oil. He always leaves you with enough to bake a cake. He always leaves you with enough so that you can use that as a seed to get more than enough. God does not want to give you just a little bit like David. He wants to run your cup over. And I never fear the valley. I never fear of running out of supplies. You know, some people stand on the valley and they say, I don't know if I'm going to step into that valley from this mountain because I look at my resources and I don't have enough. Can I tell you that your resources on the mountaintop never look like they're enough for the valley? But once you get in the valley, the same God that took two fish and five loaves of bread begins to break, begins to multiply, begins to bring everything you need. Every time that I thought I ran out in the valley, I turned around and God was there saying, here's everything you need to get through this day. And tomorrow morning, I'll be there with a fresh dose. Number five thing you need to make it through the valley is remember goodness and mercy will follow you for the rest of your life. Goodness and mercy is not just found on the mountaintop. Goodness and mercy is found in the deepest of valleys. When faith to faith is transportation, when it's a process, when it's not destination. See, we look at the next mountaintop and we love to preach faith to faith, and we build up this thing in people's minds that I'm never going to have any trouble. I'm here to tell you, trouble in this world will always be there. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be bigotry. There's always going to be racism. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't like you, somebody that comes against you. There is always going to be lack. There is always going to be poverty. There is always going to be hurricanes. There's going to be all of these kinds of things. But I'm here to tell you that as a child of God, in the middle of the valleys of life, when trouble shows up, and it's not a matter of if, but when trouble shows up, you can say, God, we've got this. Me and you together in this valley. I can't die here. I'm not staying here. I didn't pack a tent. I'm not living here. I'm not paying a mortgage here. Why? Because I'm not going to be here long. If God has called me to greater than faith to faith is how I'm going to live. I'm not going to fear the valley because there's a mountain with my name on it. Stand on your feet. I used to not like the valleys of life. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't love them, but I don't fear them. There's a lot of things that you don't like. I don't like going to the dentist. I don't like going to the dentist. He asked me the other day, he said, when was the last time you flossed? I said, you were there, man. You should know. Put on Twitter a couple years ago, I said and I was just going through a bunch of things, just picking random numbers. I said the 187th greatest thing about heaven is there'll be no dentist there. And a friend of mine said, I ain't going to heaven. I said, no, you won't serve as a dentist there. We'll all have perfect teeth. You'll be there. Don't worry. I don't fear the dentist. I just don't like it. I don't like that noise, that drill. I don't like the smell. I don't like none of that. He said, well, if you take better care of your teeth, you wouldn't have that. I understand that. We're not here to talk about me right now. So there's a lot of things we don't like. But there's a problem when you have things that you don't like and you fear them. Because it keeps us here instead of there. So the life is a process of moving from faith to faith. Two is the middle between mountains. That's what the valley is. The valley in the Hebrew and Greek means the middle of. You serve a God of the Alpha, that's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the God in between. I love that he starts and finishes, but I love that he's the God of the valley. Can these bones live in the valley? Are you sure, God? You know. These bones can live in the valley. There's resurrection in the valley. There's Holy Ghost in the valley. Whatever you need. I want to open these altars right now, and I'm out of time, but I want to open these altars to anyone and everyone in this room that you're in a valley right now, and you want the valley season to end today. I'm here to encourage you. The valley season can end today. There's three types of people in this room. There's those that are in a valley, those that are coming out of a valley, those that are getting ready to go into a valley. Those are the only three options. Maybe you're in a valley of relationship. Maybe you're in a valley of lack. Maybe you're in a valley of depression. I don't know what it is. But I want to encourage you. You're anointed. I want to encourage you that God is with you. I want to encourage you not to stop. I want to encourage you that you have enough, that you have a remnant of what you need. You've got a seed, Brother Alfred, Brother Bo, you've got something. And goodness and mercy has followed you into this valley. Goodness is the favor of God. Mercy is the muscle of God. It's the strength. In this valley, you have the favor of God. You have the strength of God. Let it be multiplied in Jesus' name. For those of you that are in this altar, I thank you for being obedient. I thank you for saying yes.